It is Free For All Friday. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. And on Friday, we talk about really whatever I want to talk about. And it is Respect Life Month. So today, I want to share with you an interview that I had with Emily Torres. She is a Catholic convert. She has a TikTok channel. It's like millions of views, like tons of subscribers. And I'm really pumped to see younger Gen Z apologists out there. A lot of you will say to me, hey, I'm younger, I'm Gen Z. Maybe you're Gen Alpha now. Who knows? And you say, I want to defend the faith. I want to do this. And I say, that's great. Just go do it. Like start a TikTok, a blog, YouTube channel. And it's going to be hard. Just give it a try and see where the Lord takes you. And send me a link. I would definitely love to check it out if you're starting and putting that out there. And that's why occasionally I want to feature that kind of content here on the channel, let people know about it. So here is my interview with Emily Torres, the Catholic convert, on how to be pro-life.
Thank you so much, Trent, for meeting with me. I just wanted to talk about some pro-life questions.
Yes.
I know you've done a lot of work in the field. You've written books about it.
Sure thing.
So in sum, could you just give me, what is the pro-life argument?
The pro-life argument is that human beings have a right to life. Human beings ought to be treated with dignity. And unborn children, from the moment that they are conceived, are individual members of the human species. They're human beings. They might be smaller and less developed than we are, live in a different place, be more dependent on their mothers. Those differences are real, but they're not morally relevant. All human beings, regardless of their age, their level of development, their physical abilities, deserve to be protected under the law. They deserve to be loved and cherished. They certainly deserve to not be killed by something like abortion. So that's essentially the pro-life argument.
Awesome. Thank you. So on my TikTok channel, I do like live streams where I invite people up who are pro-choice and we have conversations about abortion.
Wow.
I've spoken with people like on my college campus when I was in Chicago, which is very pro-choice, about abortion. And one of the more common arguments I've heard, I feel like people have changed terminology from bodily autonomy to bodily integrity. I'm not sure if you've heard that before.
Well, I think autonomy is one of the common one when I was researching the arguments. And I think maybe, I guess, integrity, the idea that, oh, I can protect my body and nothing can violate its integrity. Nothing can be there without my permission. I think it's really getting at the same concept.
Yeah.
And I would say, well, if you care about bodily integrity, abortion is probably pretty injurious to an unborn child's bodily integrity as well.
Yes.
So I think that when this argument is made, it's going to get back to the question, what are the unborn? And if you say they're human beings, well, are you saying that you have the right to treat another human being any way you choose? Well, they're in my body and they don't have to be there without my consent. Okay, well, 99% of the time, why are they there? Do you have the right to do something that creates a helpless human being and then tell that helpless human being you have no duties towards him or her? That seems outlandish to me.
Yeah, obviously I agree. But in the cases of like rape, when the person, you know, didn't choose for that child to be there, because obviously I think that's, I mean, a sound argument. You know, if it was not with the case of rape, you did something that's primary function is to procreate and now you're pregnant, like there's no surprise there. But if you were not consenting to that act and that happens to you, to what extent do you have an obligation to that unborn child?
Well, I think the obligation you have there is that you have an obligation to not directly kill this person. So as a person who's a victim of rape, who's become pregnant, perhaps you'll place this child for adoption. You feel like you're not capable of raising this child. But even me being put in that position, you are still the child's parent. And you can't directly kill another innocent human being. So, for example, imagine, like, I guess myself, like, if imagine I might wake up, there's an old urban legend that people would go around stealing kidneys for the black market. And if you wake up in a, you'll wake up in a tub of ice and the lipstick on the mirror, call 911. And I don't think that ever actually happened, like most urban legends. But suppose somebody stole my kidney, right? And I'd have the right to get that back. But then suppose it was a father who stole it to put it in his 12-year-old son. And now the only way to get that back would be to dismember the 12-year-old. So I would say there, I have the right to get my kidney back, but I don't have the right to kill a child to get my kidney back.
Yeah.
And I think most people would agree with that.
Yeah.
And so abortion is not merely choosing to not give life support to someone. It's violently withdrawing that support and killing that person in the process. Or to give you another example, suppose a woman is kidnapped, held by a man in a rural cabin, and she's raped. She escapes, and she's 9 months pregnant, and as she's escaping through the wilderness to safety, she gives birth to the child. Does she have any moral obligations to that child, or could she just continue to walk away? Some people may disagree here, but I think most people would say it's a horrible situation, but she still has obligations to that child, and she certainly can't directly kill that yes. child, even though it was not her choice mm-hmm. to become pregnant. Mm-hmm. So I think that goes back to that you are a parent of the child, and this is direct killing, not merely with withholding support.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Another thing that I kind of come across is when I'm talking about the issue of abortion and how all human beings have value, I try to not include God into the conversation just because that's another thing that I then have to justify to this person of why we ought to believe in God,
right.
how we know we're created in the image of God and such. But is it possible for someone who doesn't believe in God to still hold that all human beings have value? And is that like, can they believe that consistently? Or at the end of it, do you need to have God in the equation to justify how right. human beings have value?
I think it becomes very difficult to defend the human value thesis consistently. I know there are many atheists who are pro-life, secular pro-life. They would say, look, human beings matter. Human beings are different than other animals. This is the only life we have. So we should protect human beings. We should give equal rights to all human beings. And they just might think that equal rights are a brute fact. It's just, it is just a fact of morality that exists or is unexplained, and we just must treat each other well, and God isn't necessary to be involved. I think when you drill a little bit deeper, though, it's very hard to explain a lot of this without God, to say, well, why is it that humans and their human DNA, why are they special and compared to other creatures that have other kinds of DNA? They might say, well, it's because humans are the kind of creature that can do unique things like engage in rational thought. And those kinds of creatures deserve respect. And that's very close to a pro-life argument. Mm-hmm. And I would agree with that. But I would say, well, what about human beings like anencephalic infants? Yeah. Infants who will die before birth or shortly thereafter who do not develop an upper brain. Mm-hmm. They will never develop rational thought. But yet they're still human and they ought to be protected, because human beings are just valuable because of what they are, and they're endowed with a unique value. Mm-hmm. And where does that come from? So I think that if you just start with the basic principle people believe in, the equal human rights mm-hmm. and biological human beings, you can get there from an atheistic perspective. But I think the full picture is hard to illuminate from an atheistic perspective.
Yep. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
In conversation with people who are pro-choice, when do you think the conversation should stop? Like, if people are being, you know, civil and polite,
yeah, sure.
but, you know, they might say, well, I don't think that all human beings have equal rights. Like, at what point do you're like, okay, well, I guess.
I would still ask them and say, why do you think mm-hmm. that? Why should I believe that? It mm-hmm. seems obvious to me there's these injustices in the world, and we base on the idea that people have rights, that race, ethnicity, sex, religion, that doesn't change your basic human rights. Why should I think age or level of ability or development should change that? I think you sometimes have to end the conversation if you're talking and you're rehashing the same points and not getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's where you've kind of hit a logger jam or an impasse. Sometimes on the show, I'll say, oh, I think we've hit an impasse here. But for those listening, here's the two views. Which do you think is more reasonable? Mm-hmm. And I think if the person is becoming insufferable or irritable, or it seems like they want to go, or it's rehashing the same points, you're not getting anywhere, might be time for a break.
Yep, I agree. Okay. Another question I have is, I think there's a lot of pro-life organizations who can kind of limit the pro-life and like pro-choice debate to just simply like a resource allocation idea mm-hmm. of like, you know, women tend to get abortion simply because they don't have the resources, whether it's like emotionally or physically, financially, to take care of this child. And if we just right. gave them these resources, everything would be better and abortion would be gone. What do you think the deeper issue to abortion and the pro-choice movement is, and how should we address that?
Yeah, I would say that abortion is a moral problem. It's not a social problem. However, moral problems can be exacerbated by social factors. Mm-hmm. So, for example, theft is a moral problem. Mm-hmm. And people who are impoverished may have additional stressors that might encourage them to commit theft. But there are many poor people who don't steal because they know stealing is wrong. And they choose not to do that even though they're in a difficult position. And there are many people who are rich who steal not out of necessity but out of want. Much the same way, there are many people who, while more people on the lower end of the socioeconomic perspective might choose abortion, maybe numbers wise, the likelihood of someone choosing abortion goes up. I read a study from the Brookings Institute saying that women that made $50,000 above the poverty line were four times more likely to get an abortion.
Wow.
Because they are accustomed to a particular lifestyle and plan of life, mm-hmm. essentially. So I think that that has to be taken into account, that it's not, if you only treat it as, well, if you just gave people resources, they wouldn't have abortions. Sweden has a very generous welfare and entitlement program. Sweden has a higher abortion rate than we do. Mm-hmm. So while it can help, certainly people in difficult situations, sometimes just one little thing can help them. It really is a moral problem. Because also there are many poor people don't kill their infants when they're in a difficult circumstance.
Yeah.
They don't kill their infants when they lose their job or they're in a difficult circumstance because it's illegal.
Yeah.
And it's universally condemned. So we need to focus on the moral issue primarily.
Yeah, that's great. Another question. I've run into a lot of Catholics who, you know, claim, well, personally, I'm pro-life. You know, I would never get an abortion if I found myself pregnant. But politically, who am I to impose my view of religion onto an entire country of people who might not be Catholic as well? So I would align with a more pro-choice political view, despite my personal beliefs. What would your response to that be?
I would just ask them, why are they personally pro-life? Mm-hmm. And what do you think might be their response to that?
Either because they're Catholic and that's the church's stance, or because maybe they don't need the resource, like they have the resources to have their child, or maybe they might go down the hole of, well, because I think it's murder.
Because if they think it's murder, then it becomes, so you're saying abortion's murder, but you don't want to tell other people that murder should be illegal. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
Yeah.
If they sidestep the question and say, well, you know, I have resources, mm-hmm. so I wouldn't get it for that reason. Then I might ask them, you know, look, do you think, you say you're personally pro-life. If you say personally pro-life means you wouldn't get an abortion because you could raise a child, you're not pro-life, you're pro-choice. Mm-hmm. Pro-choice means you choose to have an abortion or choose to have a child. Mm-hmm. And you're just saying, well, I would never choose to have an abortion. That doesn't make you pro-life. Mm-hmm. Pro-life means that you believe unborn children should have the choice to live. Mm-hmm. So I think I would drill down more either to show they're inconsistent or for them to admit you're not pro-life, you're pro-choice. You don't think this is wrong. Mm-hmm. Why don't you think that it's wrong? Mm-hmm. Just get rid of that label. You're actually pro-choice, you're not pro-life.
What would you say to those who like are genuinely good-hearted? They're just, they don't understand, like they're not catechized well in terms of the church's belief on, you know, if the church has a moral stance that abortion is incorrect, then Catholics are bound to that belief.
Right.
How would you explain that to them?
I think I would even go back further from just mm-hmm. a basic moral principle. I might mm-hmm. say to them, do you think child abuse should be illegal?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you don't have children, like, what if somebody said, you know, I don't like child abuse. I would never hit my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell other people they can't hit their kids.
Yeah.
They would say that's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
And what if somebody said, you know, the Catholic Church says you can't abuse your children, but, you know, we can't impose that on everybody. It's all about finding a parallel mm-hmm. there. And they would say, well, no, child abuse is different than abortion. And I say, yeah, you're right. Abortion kills children.
Mm-hmm.
Child abuse only in some cases kills children. But isn't abortion the ultimate act of child abuse then to these children? Always get it back to that question to get them to answer, what are the unborn?
Mm-hmm.
And then to say, the Catholic Church, do you agree with the Catholic Church's teaching that all human beings should be protected under the law? All human beings should be treated with dignity?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they'd say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then are the unborn human beings?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go from there.
Where do you see the future of the pro-life movement headed? Like, how
yeah.
do you think we can tackle the issue of getting abortion fully, illegal instead of just, you know, obviously Roe is overturned, but...
I think we have a reckoning, and we have to come to grips with the fact that we are a much weaker movement than we thought.
Yeah.
I think that there is a significant number of people that I would call pseudo pro-lifers.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who say they are pro-life and they say, yeah, I'm pro-life, I'm against abortion, and they like being part of the pro-life community or the church or whatever it may be. But then when push comes to shove, when it's time to vote on a law in their state,
mm-hmm.
they vote against it because deep down they actually do think abortion should be legal. They just liked belonging to the pro-life crowd or the church or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. And that's hard because there are pseudo pro-lifers. Like someone who says they're pro-life but actually votes pro-choice,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if there are pseudo pro-choicers. I don't know if that person exists. Matt, mm-hmm. someone who says, I'm pro-choice, I'm for women's right to choose, mm-hmm. like, I'm part of this pro-choice community. And then when they get in the voting booth, they actually have a crisis of conscience and they vote to make abortion illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's one person out there like that, but there's way more. But pseudo pro-lifers are a real legitimate problem,
mm-hmm.
where for 50 years you could say you're pro-life and you never had to be tested because abortion was just illegal everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now you are tested. It's kind of like in the early church. You're like, oh, I'm Christian. It's easy to say you're Christian when there's no persecution.
Yeah.
And then when it's like, oh, okay, if you're Christian, we're going to execute you. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're, I'm pro-life. Oh, if you're pro-life and you say abortion should be illegal, we're not going to want to do business with you because you hate women and you're going to kill women. You're going to kill women with your vote.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to do that. Yeah. So I think we have to reckon with that, and we have to continue. We also have to reckon with the fact that the world is becoming a worse place morally,
mm-hmm.
and people are apathetic and morally deadened and more selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're more apt to support abortion because of that. And you look, for example, at pornography statistics in the past 10 years, how they've skyrocketed mm-hmm. access, and people are just getting worse morally. And so they have no qualms about abortion because they're just morally dead inside.
Mm-hmm.
What's hard, it's like we felt like with Roe versus Wade being overturned, it's like we climbed Mount Everest. It wasn't that. It was like we climbed a part of the summit and we looked up and now here's the big peak.
Yeah.
And it's like you have to take heart then and trust in God and keep climbing.
What would your advice be to any like young, a lot of my audience is like teens and young adults. What would your advice to them be who they're pro-life, but you know, they faced opposition from their friends at school or even some family members?
Yeah.
What's your advice to them?
Be bold. Know that God loves you. He's proud of you for standing up for the truth in difficult times. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. Be charitable, but take heart in the fact that if people are getting upset at you, and it's not because of how you're acting, it's because of the message you're sharing graciously with them. You're doing good work for the kingdom. And we need people like you to be able to calmly share this truth with other people and for their benefit. The book of Proverbs says to rescue those who are being dragged to death, to be able to speak out against this injustice and to learn how to do it, to motivate others on college campuses and the workplaces, to go out and be a successful person in the arts and the sciences, who is passionately pro-life. We desperately need that. So I would just encourage you all, do not give up. We really need you.
Well, thank you so much, Trent. Your work is so inspiring. Personally, I just love the way that you peacefully and kindly interact with people who can be very hostile towards you. So thank you for your work. And thank you for this interview.
No problem.
Really,
thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
All righty.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And I hope you have a very blessed day.